Well, this is how I came to be standing here. Arden said, I might need to speak on the 17th. And I said, oh, no, you're not. Not the day after you get home from Hawaii. And then I said, I'll do it. And I was kidding. And then it just started to kind of poke at me, like, yeah, well, you kind of thought about this before, and maybe you want to give it a go. And I thought, well, if he's comfortable with that, I'll give it a go. So here I am giving it a go. And hang in there. This is the one. But that's good. This is the one stand that doesn't move. But that's good because I can lean on it. And it doesn't. Okay. I want to give you a couple thoughts. Well, this little title of this thing is called Facing Your Fears. And you'll find out as I go through the little message here about why I'm talking about that. But let me give you some thoughts here. Life is where they give you the exam first, and then they give you the teaching. Okay, and now this is a little more personal. I heard this from this Bible teacher I like to listen to on the radio. His name is Steve Brown. And he was talking about evangelism. And these two comments are directly related to that. No one cares how much you know until they know how much you care. There's that one. And then there is a direct correlation between people seeing Jesus and you taking off your mask. So here we go. Margie, can you show that slide, please? Now Margie said, wow, that cat has a lot of courage. And I thought, cool, she's looking at it that way. In my mind, I thought, that cat must be scared to death. But anyway, can you imagine being that cat? So actually, I sort of can. Okay, Margie, you can go ahead. You see, most of my life, I've lived battling fear of one degree or another. And whether it was really that serious, being faced by a multitude of German shepherds, or just perceived as that serious, I've battled that kind of fear. And maybe you have faced circumstances that were really difficult. I'm hoping this is going to behave. And you had no idea how God was going to get you through, but he did. It may not have been according to the plan you had, but you may still, or you may still be in what feels like a nightmare. When will this end? How can God possibly get me through this? Your feelings may be screaming at you, no way am I going to ride this one out. And your faith and trust may seem non-existent. There's a saying I've often read by, which is quoted by Corrie ten Boom, who was a survivor of Ravensbrück concentration camp in Nazi Germany. Cowardly, wayward, and weak, I change with the changing sky. Today so eager and strong, tomorrow not caring to try. But he never gives in, and we too shall win, Jesus and I. I can't tell you the number of times I've looked at those words. Oh my, I'm not sure. What do you think, Arden? Is this being too... I'm hearing the foot. Are you guys okay? All right. Thank you. I hear everything. Sorry. Okay. I can't tell you the number of times I have looked at those words, the ones I just quoted, when I have felt weak, whether physically, emotionally, or whatever, pick one, and I've come away encouraged. But when I was a child, I didn't know the truth of those words, and I was to discover that later. I'm going to talk with you today about some difficulties in my life and how God worked through those times. This is definitely the Reader's Digest version. It's like skipping a rock over the surface of a body of water. You're going to get a little taste. So, let's start with, oh, this is driving me nuts. I'm sorry. I may just take it off and use a handheld mic. Sorry, guys. Thank you. I don't like hearing the and so, okay, let's start with a very difficult event in my childhood. I'm sitting on the edge of my bed. My dad is sitting beside me telling me he's leaving our home and he's not going to be living with us anymore. He's walking away. And during that same time, my mom suffered a nervous breakdown, at least that's what they called it then, and spent a month in the hospital. In one fell swoop, it seemed like I lost my dad and my mom at the same time. That blasted a hole in my security, which would echo to this day. I felt abandoned and shattered. As I grew up, being fearful remained an undercurrent in my life. It governed pretty much all my choices. Seeing the breakdown of my mom and her ongoing struggle with depression was at times, and also at times, disconnection to reality was so alarming to me. I wanted to help her. I wanted her to be well. And that's probably part of the reason I became a registered nurse. My dad struggled with alcoholism, as did my mom. Anger was his most frequent emotion. It could be scary to be in his presence, and I would shrink as he would yell at people for something they had forgotten, at a waitress, at a gas station attendant, at my sister, at me, and now at his new wife and child. And as the years passed, this was my normal. This is what I grew up with. And I knew I wanted to be less fearful. I could see others trying new things, but had such a hard time letting go of fear. Every time I would attempt something, fear would be waiting for me. But there were times I became more bold, especially as I got older. I ended up going to University of Cincinnati and kept being exposed to people who called themselves born-again Christians. I had attended church before. I knew there was a God, but never saw passion like I saw in these born-again folks. Overall, I thought they were kind of weird, but still felt drawn to them and the God they were so passionate about. I remember praying as a child, "Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep." There was always a thirst inside of me for God. These Christians had Bible studies, which I also thought was weird. Studying your Bible? That's weird. And they knew where to find passages like Ephesians, which I also thought was weird. That's a weird Ephesians. But they reached out to me with acceptance, even with my hippie ways. At age 19, after lots of pursuit by God in many different ways, I decided to become one of those born-again folks. And right away, God told me to do something really hard. That was just the beginning of him telling me to do hard things. But anyway, the Lord told me, and when I say told, he somehow communicated through my thoughts, and I knew it wasn't my thoughts, it was his. He told me to say goodbye to my boyfriend of 4 years. It was either the Lord or the boyfriend. I had to choose. I was brand new at this following Christ thing, but I knew, I really, really knew, it was God's voice asking me to be yoked to him and not the man I had hoped to marry. But again, I faced fear. What if I never met anybody else? I had found some sense of security in having a boyfriend, especially one I had dated for so long. I hated change, and I hated the thought of abandoning him. But somehow the thought of pleasing Christ had a greater pull on me. I called this man to let him know I wouldn't be seeing him anymore. He thought I was kidding, but then he realized it was for real. How I grieved that loss, but later I thanked God over and over, for helping me make that decision. My life would have been so different had I not listened to God. Not too long afterward, as in 1 month, at University of Cincinnati, I met this engineer named Tom. He's sitting right there. We started a friendship. 2 months later, Tom called me in my dorm room to tell me he loved me. Kind of unusual. Usually after 2 months, people don't kind of call each other up and say, I love you, or at least it wasn't that way then. It was kind of a matter of fact, I just want you to know type of thing. No pressure, just want you to know I love you. I was shocked. As our relationship progressed and we became more serious, the fear started to rise again. What if we get married and he leaves me? He divorces me. I hated divorce. I'd lived through divorce. I didn't want to repeat. I asked God to give me a love for Tom that would not die or take it away. Well, he answered my prayer. Now, fast forward in time. And by the way, thank you for your prayers right now. I mean, I just have felt your prayers all week, and you guys are awesome. I just want you to know that. Oh, boy. Okay, now, fast forward in time. Goody, I get to move one hand. This one's locked in, but I get one hand to move. Fast forward in time to when Tom and I were expecting our first child. I was 27. We were all prepared for natural childbirth. Oh, boy. But I had a long and difficult labor, ending with a C-section. I was experiencing night sweats and had a terrible time sleeping, even when the baby was asleep, and hormonally, I must have been all over the map. And I felt very, very sad. People said, got the baby blues. You'll see the light of day in a couple weeks, maybe a month. Well, 1 month passed, 2 months, 3 months, and I felt terrible. It was a confusing time. I thought having a baby was supposed to be great. I'd seen other moms with their kids. They seemed so happy and relaxed. I was not relaxed. I was in a constant state of turmoil. Some of you lived this with me. Every day I struggled to function, every single day. I felt so alone and so unworthy. I knew I was depressed, and I felt completely inadequate as a mom. I tried so hard to be a good mom, and I loved my daughter and my husband the best I could in that difficult time. And I remember looking at myself in the mirror and thinking, I look terrible and I feel worse. Doesn't God love me anymore? Why has he forsaken me? Was I angry at God. Why has he abandoned me? I couldn't hear him. I went to a Christian counselor recommended by a local church who told me that all I needed to do was trust God. I wanted to slug him. More guilt. Of course I wanted to trust God. I was hanging on to my faith by a thread. I was a Christian, for goodness sakes. And as a Christian, how could I even get depressed? Do Christians get depression? I felt I must be sinning. That thought just heaped more darkness on me. But I later found out that's part of the illness itself. A perception that God is punishing you. And at that time, I had such a low opinion of myself that I thought, yeah, somehow I deserve this. And as an aside, I did have some confessing to do, but that was God's love correcting me, not condemning me. He really did bring good from this time in my life, but I'm getting ahead of myself. One day, God supplied a way to answer some of the questions about depression that I was asking inside. And I happened to be listening to KPDQ, a local Christian radio station, where a medical doctor described himself going through a major clinical depression. Now, there's all kinds of levels of depression. There's the couple days, there's, you know, maybe a week or two, something like that. But this is different. A clinical depression has symptoms, signs. It's just like any illness. It's got a whole list of things. As far as this doctor was concerned, this came out of nowhere in his life. He explained his journey of going into and coming out of depression. And I was thinking, do people really recover from this? It was a glimmer of hope. And hearing that a Christian physician, respected, intelligent, could experience this made it less shameful somehow. I called the station right away and got info as how to make an appointment with this man. I wanted to understand what in the world was happening to me. I was able to see him not too long after my inquiry. He explained how God made our brain chemistry to work and what chemical deficiencies could lead to depression. I understood this, the nerve synapses and neurotransmitters, because I was an RN. Serotonin is one of those hormones that if you're deficient in it, it can cause depression. And after speaking with this Christian doctor, I had the courage, and it takes courage, guys. It takes a lot of courage to get treatment for this, because it can be a very shameful thing. I mean, at least in your mind, you can perceive it that way. But I had the courage to get treatment I needed for the depth of depression I was experiencing, and I went to a doctor who specialized in such things. And meanwhile, God started bringing, bless him, right at the right time, people, books, sayings, articles, passages of scripture, especially in the Psalms, and radio broadcasts as encouraging tools to keep me going forward. I remember walking by a Christian bookstore and seeing a sign which said, "The future is as bright as the promises of God." Wow, that held out some hope for me, because I'd read the Bible. I headed straight in that bookstore and bought that sign. I knew there were wonderful promises in Scripture, even though at the time I was having trouble believing much of anything. I learned to saturate myself like a sponge with the Scripture Sometimes I'd say it out loud, if needed, to get my thoughts focused on what was true. Or there might be an idea I would have, like, there is, like, God loves me unconditionally. I don't know that that's actual scripture in the Bible, but that is a principle in the Bible. So I could say that to myself, knowing that is true. There were a few select people I trusted to tell about my struggle, what I was going through. Boy, there's nothing quite like being able to share something so painful and feel the support of those who love and accept you, or maybe have even shared the same road with you. People I would have never suspected told me of their own struggle with depression. What a relief to know I was not alone. How grateful I was for their prayers, and so grateful for their acceptance of me. It was difficult to accept myself, and believe me, there were days I didn't want to go on. That's how serious this was. I did not want to go on, and that was frightening too. There is no way, no way I would have made it without their support. Finally, this is biggie here. I'm going to lay a biggie on you right now. Finally, I came to a point of surrender. Okay, God, whatever you want to use to help me to be well, for my family, I submit to your will. Your will. If you want me to stay depressed, I'll stay. That's your business. I give this whole sad time to you. It was huge, you guys. It was huge. I felt absolutely emptied and poured out before the throne of God. Never before had I surrendered to God that completely. And when I say surrender, I guess you could say it's the same as accepting the yoke of Christ. As Dan Kamek was talking about last Sunday, it's leaning into his guidance and saying, not my will, but your will, Lord. I will let you lead me. I know some of you know what I'm talking about, and you know what surrender is. Usually, it's not a one-time deal either. I asked Ken Needham about this once, how often or when he had really surrendered his life to God. I thought it was kind of a spiritual question. So I said, you know. And his answer surprised me. Every day. And then I okay. So I realized that it could be an everyday thing. Or it could even be more than once a day, or maybe moment by moment. Through this process of surrender, I realized just how much of a faith builder the whole experience of depression was. I would have never asked for this, but who would? There was a sense of, oh, this big, this is really big. I'm going to tell you something big now. There was a sense of, if God can get me through this, he can get me through anything. Have you been there? If God can get me through this, he can get me through anything. I was just, wow, my faith had just went, pow, exploded. Instead of fearing what the day was going to bring, there began a steady return to trust in Christ. Not that I didn't have, boom, you know, I hope you know what I mean by that. Instead of fear ruling me, there was a shift in Christ being at the helm. And yes, it was a time of hardship. I wouldn't wish it on anybody. But there was a closeness with God, an incredible closeness. I heard him speak to me in ways I never had before. Not audibly. I wasn't hearing things. But he could do that if he wanted. I mean, God can do anything. But he would speak through my thoughts, as he had in that very beginning. I still have my little notebook, I just brought it here, with the love words God would give me sometimes at night. He'd say things to me that, just help me keep going. I am with you. I am for you. I will never leave you. I will not abandon you. Big, wonderful thoughts. But there was this one extraordinary time. I had just dropped off my little daughter at a babysitter's, and I was sitting alone in my car, and despair was absolutely engulfing me. And I needed to yet again go to a counseling appointment. Oh boy, goody, I get to go to counseling. It was another reminder that I was not well, needing emotional help, and for me, it was a sign of failure. Guys, it's not a sign of failure, okay? Just FYI. Out of nowhere, I'm sitting in the car, plopped into my mind these words. He knows the way I take. He saw me. He hadn't abandoned me. I had felt abandoned by him, like I had as a child with my parents. But there was such a sense of comfort with those words he spoke to me in the car. No sense of shame, just his way of saying, I am with you. I see you. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. Suddenly, I didn't feel so alone. It was a lifeline sent from him to me, a reminder of his presence. And this is the amazing thing. I didn't know these words were a direct quote from Scripture. Later, I found the entire quote. Where else? In the book of Job, chapter 23, verse 10. But he knows the way I take. And when he has tested me, I will come forth as gold. And that is an integral piece. I'm almost done, by the way, I think. This blowtorch experience I had, the integral piece to refine me, to deliver me from some of the fears of my past, and to cause my faith to grow by leaps and bounds. In addressing those fears, I realized where some of them started. Some of them were resurfacing of the trauma of my past, and some were from the illness itself, and some were enemy planted. We have an enemy who is a liar, and he would like us to believe lies about us and about God. I learned planting truth in my life was one of the best ways to combat fear. Instead of feeling self-condemnation, I knew he had chosen me and was not casting me off. He told me to fear nothing because he was with me. He told me he would strengthen me. So here's a quote from Isaiah. I have called you my servant. I have chosen you and not cast you off. Fear nothing, for I'm with you. Be not afraid, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you in my righteous right hand. So as the days passed and I used the tools God had shown me to use toward healing, God can use lots of tools, I gradually got better. And I remember a particular day when I could feel the lifting of the burden, a lightening of my mood, and somehow it seemed as if my soul had expanded my capacity to laugh, to cry, to see beauty, to be grateful, to sing. It all came from deeper within me. And those were part of the good gifts this season produced in my life. The greatest good was understanding what surrender meant. I had no concept before. More times of surrender were yet to come and keep coming. But this was a milestone, a point in my history where I had seen God deliver me through a devastating illness. And yes, I did get better. As lots of people have said, this Christian life is a process. You don't just wake up one day and you're all done. That'd be great, but it doesn't work like that. Do I still struggle? Yep. Have I been praying for Lo these many years for ongoing healing? Yep. Am I able to do things now that fear would have prevented me from in the past? Do I get totally pumped when I see someone press through their fears and have the courage to try new things? Yes, infinity. Yes, infinity. Okay, so Margie, can you show that other slide, please? Courage does not always roar. Sometimes it is the quiet voice at the end of the day saying, I will try again tomorrow. Thanks, Margie. So, what are the challenges you face? What road may God be asking you to travel? Are you on a road of uncertainty? Is he asking something of you which seems impossible? Are you dealing with an illness that has no quick fix? Have you experienced a huge loss? Could you possibly be depressed or have some other emotional challenge? May I hand you courage? Favorite thing to do, one of my favorite things. The same God who divided the Red Sea, who caused the sun to stand still and stopped the storm, who created this incredible planet and all the heavens, is desiring to have a relationship with you. Do you know that? He wants a relationship with you. He wants to be yoked to you, to guide you, to have you be a part of his plan, and to bring his love and hope to a hurting world. And his love and hope to all of you. Lord God, you do miracles, and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.